You are listening to Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas, only on...
So you know the deal. It's time for Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is your boy, Case. Another one of Those Casual Reds shows. We're brought to you by Bumloren Manukian and Sheck Gideon LLP, personal injury and litigation firm. Over a decade of experience with real results, maximize your compensation with us. Call at 747-444-4444. Get that free consultation. They got a brilliant set of lawyers. Hike, Ashat, Vahe, Ani, Shushan, and David, call him 747-444-4444. Sam, bring in this panel of Stateside Reds. I'm excited for the show. I was having a tough time today on the drive over here. I was just thinking in the car, like, boy, Manchester United is not fun right now. Not fun to watch. I was like, would I want to be shit and exciting or boring and exciting? I mean, boring and shit like we are. I don't know. I think I would rather be shit and exciting. I don't know. But it's a tough time. So, well, they had a big meeting today. Oh, first of all, let me introduce everybody. Got Mikey in Atlanta. What's going on, Mikey?
Wagwan, big chap. The world famous plastic fan is in the building. And I came to say it to your face. Did you ever go to Old Trafford?
Who, me? Oh, wow, you're doing this.
Starting already, man. Starting already.
Yeah, out of Pittsburgh, my man, Sean. How you doing, Sean?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good, as always.
Yeah. Had a good time with you guys yesterday in United Fan Zone 24. And Bandito Mike, ACJ Mike, from his UK tour, went to Porto. Saw some matches. Can't wait to hear about your experience. How you doing, my brother? I miss you. The pub misses you.
I'm good. Thanks for having me back.
So, we all know the elephant in the room. Today there was a meeting. There was a lot of speculation going into the meeting. People were talking about maybe this meeting was about Erik ten Hag, but I think it was about probably just the club in general. Some respected sources came out and said that, you know, Erik ten Hag's job should be safe. Some people are throwing out names and this and that, who it could be. But I don't know. You know, I don't think if anything's going to change. You know, Sean, I know you were speaking a little bit before the show, and you believe that we might wake up and hear some news. You want to get into that?
I don't know what it is. People call me crazy. I think we're gonna wake up and he's gonna be gone tomorrow. I don't know why. Like, I have that feeling. I just feel that, like, the past couple of weeks has just not been good enough. Sitting in 14th at this particular point in the season, I think he's just gonna wake up and he's gonna be gone tomorrow.
Yeah, 14th is a tough one to swallow. 14th, and our statistically is just poor. I mean, I think Liverpool still score more goals at Trafford than we have, if I'm not mistaken. We haven't been able to, you know, look productive. We can't play a full game. Either we're defensively right, but no attack. Lately, we've been pretty much offensively decent. I don't want to say good, but no defense. You know, it's been a rough run on the resume from Erik ten Hag. I mean, Bandito, you were over there. I'm sure you can tell us a lot. I know you heard a lot from the match-going fans. I know you heard a lot from the locals. What do they feel about Eric Ten Hag? What do they feel? Are people supporting him?
I did ask a lot of supporters about this, and most would say that they don't believe he's going to last the end of the season. They're not sure that you know, that ultimatum, you have to win these next two games, and if you don't, then you get sacked, or this next run of games, you know, it's like that's never going to stop. So, yeah, my understanding is that this meeting was just a standing meeting, in Ineos and the rats that are the Glazers. But obviously you have to talk about the situation going on, and you have to talk about the manager and all that stuff. So, and it's wild. People we're talking about, you know, what they think about Ten Hag and what they think about the manager situation. So I've heard everything from Zidane, De Zerbi, and, you know, all the Tuchel, all the Nagelsmann, all the kind of names that we've all been hearing. But one thing that United fans are united on is nobody wants Gareth Southgate. That is for sure. So I even heard a woman say that if Southgate becomes manager, she's not going to renew her season ticket.
I actually heard that on TalkSport. Someone said that on TalkSport. Forgive me, I peek at TalkSport sometimes, and some gentleman said I would absolutely.
Yeah, TalkSport is owned by the Sun, and not because I'm Liverpool or anything, but because I'm a working class lad. Fuck the Sun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I still watch the show though.
Mikey, do you think? I heard you saying that you wanted to hear Ineos step up, get some cojones, make a decision. Do you think the supporters are owed that decision? Do you think they would tell us anything, like leak anything, like, hey, you know what? He has till December and then we'll make a choice.
The supporters deserve everything. We pay the money.
Right. I'm just asking.
The people that are in, more importantly, the people in Manchester are owed everything. They get it first. So, before we even get to us, they owe everything. Here's the thing. Why do we have to have this big, grandiose, pretentious meeting and have this big, grandiose announcement to be like, oh, well, we'll make an announcement tomorrow. This couldn't be solved over video call. We have Zoom. We got TeamViewer. We got all this stuff here. You guys get TeamViewer for free. We could have had a meeting in morning over tea and crumpets, and then it would have been over with. Why are we doing this whole drawn out, we'll decide his future tomorrow. One more game at Porto. One more game at Aston Villa. Come on now. This is just ridiculous. Somebody step up. Hey, thank you, Ten Hag. Here's your P45. It's been nice to see you. You're out of here. If that's what you're going to do. If you're not going to do that, say, hey, we're backing our guy. We're behind him. We're going to give him until this amount of time. Stand on something. This is the second time you've played this game, which allows speculation. It allows people to go wild. And it just doesn't look good for the players. It doesn't look good for the club. It just looks like we're a club in disarray even more. And I just don't see why you just can't put your foot down, put your nuts on the table and say yay or nay.
I feel like this meeting was going to happen even if we were doing well. I don't know. I don't know if this was a meeting that the bigger ups were going to do to just talk about the club and the situation. I don't know if it was specifically about Ten Hag and the current situation. If it is, that means I agree with you. If that's what that meeting was about, definitely something needs to be reported. Definitely something needs to be released because the club's not in a good state right now. And, you know, go ahead, Bandito. I see you.
This is a routine standing meeting that they do every quarter or some shit like that. But it's a international break and United get clicks, and we're fun to kick when we're down. So people are going to pile on.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a lot of piling on going on, you know. You know, Sir Jim came out, and some people even read into his comments, and I think they were saying that it didn't feel supportive. It didn't feel like he was back in Eric Ten Hag. But
yeah, he's never come out and said, he's the guy, and I'm going to back him until the end of the season. I'm going to give him this much time. He's never come out and said that. You're right. He's had the opportunity to do it, but he never has.
Which shows me that he doesn't have his backing.
Yeah,
if he had his full backing, then I think he would have come out and said he has my full backing. I think that whole comment where he came out and said that, oh, it's not up to me, you know, it's up to Barada and Ashworth. Is it really though? Because you're the boss. If you don't want him here, then he ain't gonna stay. So, but I also see the point from his point of view that Barada and Ashworth only came in July, you know. That's the, you know, I'm sure their hopes were to keep him. Man United be playing a lot better than this, so they could focus on, you know, revenue and everything else that needed to be focused on at Manchester United. And then all of a sudden the team went to shit, so now it's a big deal again.
I feel like they're in a weird situation. I don't think they were even envisioning it get this bad this early, you know?
No.
I think they really got some, you know, the monkey wrench put in the system. They don't know what to do right now, because now it seems like there's a lot of pressure from a lot of entities, from supporters, the media, even rivals, mind you, who care what they're saying, but it's really a lot of pressure on Ineos right now. And I've heard a lot of rumblings now. People are actually moving from Ten Hag being the issue. It's now, what is Ineos going to do? Ineos, like Mikey liked to say, they're on fraud watch right now. They're on watch right now. They need to fix the situation, because the only way it's going to get fixed, either they're going to either step in and tell Eric Ten Hag, you need to change your tactics or a little something, you need to play these people more, do something differently. Because I just feel like the man is too stubborn, maybe a little shell-shocked from what he went through last year, to get this right. He needs help, and they're going to have to step in and help him. There's a lot of pressure on this man, and sometimes when people are under a lot of pressure, they don't think straight.
Yeah, well, you can see that with the substitutions. For me, I'm not changing my mind. I still think he should go. I'm not seeing any improvement from the last year to this year. Yes, last year we had injuries. This year we're starting to see injuries again. He's doing rotations, and we're still seeing injuries. Mainu's backed out. Mazraoui's backed out.
No, Harry's hurt.
Harry's hurt. Like, so we're starting to see the injuries again. So, what's the excuse going to be then? Like, oh, we got injuries. Like, I just think we should just make the change now. If we don't make the change now, there's going to be some serious issues come Christmas time. There's too many games in December for this to carry on the way it is. Like, if we carry on the way we're going, there's a possibility that we see ourselves in the top bottom six before December starts.
Yeah, it's a real possibility. And then the games that are coming up, I think we talked about it last night, they're all winnable games.
Yeah, they're winnable games. But after that, you've got Chelsea, you've got Arsenal, we got City soon. You know, we still haven't played them. And
the games that we played already were winnable.
Facts. I'm not...
Yes.
And that's what's scary about it, Mikey. Those games are winning. Those games, we all said, Villa is the toughest game, and everything else is the games to build momentum, build cohesion, build confidence, and we played the worst. I think I would probably say the best game we played, I don't know how you feel about it, Benito, is Villa.
We are big, bad Man United, and I'm sorry, I'm going to let you get in, Bandito. My apologies. Big Bad Man United is talking about what games are winnable or not.
Yeah, that's fucked up, isn't it?
With this new team that's supposed to be this incredible team backed by Ineos, picked by Eric Ten Hag, blah-de-blah-de-blah-de-blah-blah-blah. Oh, well, this game's winnable. This game's going to be tough. That game, we're Man United, bro. We're supposed to go in there and perform. Now, I ain't saying we're going to win every game, but it's going to be formidable every time. Big up cheese, Wagwan, big man.
Where, fuck where traffic. Big up on yourself. Fuck traffic.
It's incredible, huh?
Yo.
I mean, not to change the subject, when I drove from the crib, it went from it's going to take 15 minutes and then jump to 25 minutes.
It's like me telling me to leave at a certain time, and then when I leave at that time, it's like, now I'm late. Like, you told me to leave at this time.
How you doing today, Cheese?
I'm good, man. I didn't watch the game, so I feel great. like everything is good with me. Everything is on the up and up. I don't have no type of Ten Hag stress. Zero. I've actually been watching a lot of y'all content, and I've just been like, oh, these people is really losing their mind.
Us? Well, but it's been a rough watch, though.
Apparently.
Sanjeev came to the... Shout out to Sanjeev. He came to the L.A., but I don't want to get off topic. And he thinks the L.A. group is insane.
He texted me and said, Casey's freaking nuts.
Yeah, the L.A. group, he was like, how do y'all get energy this early? And I was like, bro... There's a lot of ways. Some people don't even sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a good turnout. Disappointed. The vibe was disappointing. It was a lot of negativity. People are down. I want to jump onto Bandito. Pause. Tell me about being there. The smell,
the vibe, the
people, the seeing the tactics up in personal, seeing guys getting pulled out, seeing guys not play, seeing a starting lineup. Go ahead.
Bobbins. That's my trip. The football was Bobbins.
But you earned a lot of respect, too. But
listen, I had more fun going to see Academy football in Doncaster, in Salford City.
I bet you did.
Than I did watching the first team. But having said that, I don't want to be a dickhead. I know going over there, it's a place of privilege for a lot of people who don't have that privilege. So I don't take that lightly.
A lot of people.
The crowd goes very negative. And when we go... When we go down a goal or we need to like attack, you know, it could be 65 minutes and, you know, people are groaning because we're stepping on the ball and we're not like trying to make Hollywood passes into attack.
I've got something to ask you real quick, Benny. When we're watching it on TV, right, the last two games, like, because I've gone, I always go back and watch the whole game again because, you know, being at the bar, you never see the whole game. And I like to watch it again and kind of get the point of view so I can do the show. On TV, though, it sounds like the Stretford end is pure nothing but singing. Is that?
It is not Anfield where they pump in sound. It is nonstop.
Good.
They call it the youth stand, but that would be the corner near the players' tunnel. I was there for 20. And then at that diabolical game against Spurs, I was in the Stretford end near the player tunnel, row 3. So Bruno's walking right towards me as he's going off. But I can tell you, it is nonstop. But more impressive than that, and what I like are away days, because you know Villa is a big club. They're bigger than City. I would say they're probably as big as like Rangers and Celtic. Mm-hmm. You know they've won almost every trophy there is to win, including a European Cup. And the 2,000 maybe 3,000 away fans were absolutely out singing Villa for 90 minutes. Porto, they get loud when they score, and then that's about it. Same thing Palace. I mean, they have their little Palace ultras with their drums and their flags and whatnot, but all you could hear is United for 90 minutes. the away fans are incredible. Win or lose, draw, you know, playing like shit, running the show. It's just nonstop.
Yeah, my first game watching Man United was actually at Villa Park.
It's a fantastic ground. I love it. It's brick. It's in the neighborhood that they're from, right? In Aston. Yeah. If you know anything about Birmingham, it's not a glamorous town.
No, it's not. Hardcore. Zulus.
It is a fantastic ground. Some of my favorite aways are like Villa and Goodison for that same reason, just right in all the in the terrace housing all around it, right in the neighborhood. So it's to me, I hate to see that ground go, but they're moving on. So,
Mikey, I'm scared to ask you, what did you just say?
I said, big up the Birmingham Massive.
Yeah, big up the Birmingham Massive. Enough Yachty's out there, too. Benny, we're going to lean on you a lot tonight. When you see our tactics up close in person, and you see space, does it look just fucking crazy?
One thing that I noticed is Diego Dalot has a very complex role, and it's almost too much because you're asking him to invert. You ask like almost be another midfielder and offer protection. But then you're also asking him to recover on that ball that's already over his head. The other thing is our two holding midfielders, they get asked to do far too much as well because of our lack of front three pressing. So because we press with Xerxes and Bruno, then, you know, instead of the wingers, they're moving laterally like 40, 60 yard sprints. I mean, you look at them and they're gassed in the 30th minute. And you can, I was watching Ugarte. So sometimes when I go, I don't watch the ball. I pick a player and it's like watch a player or area of the pitch to watch. And I was watching Ugarte. It was kind of difficult. So when you're at field level, you're having to look through bodies. So you can't really see the tactics too well. You're having to look through bodies, right? And it just seems like the decision making between when to pass a guy off, when to go mark a guy, when to man mark. Our midfield just really seems to struggle with that, the complexity of those roles. That's one of the things I noticed. And I will say, let me just say one more thing. I was on the away end at Palace. I think it was row three also. So Ahmad was attacking down the right on that side, and he and Bruno would kind of link together. And he is fantastic to watch. I mean, the ball just sticks to his feet. If you've seen me, he's probably about my height, but just, you know, has really used his experience in a rough and tumble championship, and he uses his body and his shifting. And when I look at Rashford, when I look at Garnacho, they tend to take what the defender gives them. So if the defender wants to take away an inside chop, then they're going to go down the line. If the defender's cheating to one side, they're going to cut back. Whereas Ahmad, he manipulates the defender, right? He doesn't wait. He doesn't, he creates it. He doesn't take what they're giving him. And I think he's probably the only winger that does that. My coach used to call it proactive attacking versus reactive attacking.
So basically, you just reinforced everything we talked about in the last couple of shows, because we were...
Don't lie.
We were shocked that Antony even got a look over Ahmad. And I feel like Ten Hag has played Ahmad out of form. I don't know what's going on with the Ahmad and Ugarte situation, gentlemen, but I'm saying I'm concerned about those two guys, because if it's either one of those guys, I would not be happy with Erik ten Hag right now. I'm not saying because he didn't start Ugarte, but there's no reason why Kobe and Eriksson should have need to play 90 minutes. They look leggy, especially Eriksson. There's no reason why you go into a game and say Eriksson should play 90 minutes. Yep. So let me ask you guys this question right here. Is it tactically we need to simplify this a little bit? Because he just told us two, three positions where he's asking them to do too much. Two midfielders and a fullback.
I would say yes, because we can't even get fundamentals right. So it's like just start with that. Mm-hmm. Just basic fundamental ball, like your schoolboy, the shit you learn at the schoolboy level. Like, just give me some of that. Like, super basic, but just like execute and show me that and start there. And then, like, make it more complex. But yeah, you have to help your players out, and you have to simplify your system, because it's not. We see it every week, and it's not working. Right? I'm on the Ten Hag fence. I'm a Ten Hag fencer. Some man is straight up Ten Hag out. Some man still a big fan. I'm on the fence. Tiptoeing on the fence, man. I'm a fencer. Yeah, that's sure.
Why,
man.
I'm a fencer too. Yep. I know Sean is an outer.
Sean is bringing Tuchel right away. Just like that is his guy. He's ready.
I think to answer your question, I think from my perspective is when we have, say, Rashford or Garnacho, they're really unwilling to do the work defensively.
Interesting.
You're having to play Bruno so high because it's now Bruno and Xerxes who are pressing the center back and the goalkeeper. And then our wingers are not connected. So it's so disjointed. That's why I think Porto did. I told my friend, you know, they just did like a 12-year-old wall pass. Like, mm-hmm. You know, what you would call second pass, right? You pass it to me, but you don't want to pass it to me. You want to pass it to the guy beyond me. Mm-hmm. So I pass it back to you. That opens the space for the guy, right? Boom, boom, boom. Okay. And they're into attack.
Easy.
You know what I mean?
Too easy.
So it's been so disjointed. I think our pressing is probably, for me, the problem. So I think instead of high pressing, if we just come back a little bit, mid, you know, not play like a block, a mid block.
Like we did against Villa.
You know what? Against Villa, we weren't great, right? But we had a lot of possession the first half. It just kind of lacked the quality. And so we played on a Thursday away in Europe, and then they played on a Wednesday. I don't know if they were home or away, but it looked like both sides were just not up for it.
I still think I do see your point on the wings, like them getting back and defending. Just from watching the games throughout this season, last season, I think our problem is midfield. I think it's too far wide open. You said it earlier, they're being asked to do too much. Then why don't we just tell one of them to stay back? Like Casemiro, you stay back. Like Ugarte, you stay back. Like that, you don't move into their area of the field unless our defense is moving up to the halfway line. I just think it's what do you what the transitional, like when we lose the ball and they go on the attack, our midfield is non-existent, and it could be due to the fact that, like you just said, they're gassed after 30 minutes from the pressing. So the, you know, trying to get back is just like I saw it with Harry Maguire. Harry Maguire comes on, he loses Man United lose the ball, and they go on the attack, and Harry Maguire looks like he's 60 year old trying to get back into a defense. He was just trying back. He was so gassed. Do you feel like they're being trained too hard? So they're not ready at game time. Like I don't understand. And this is for me is I don't think, kind of like Anthony, I don't think Anthony's a bad player. I just think he's in the wrong league. I don't think he's good enough to be in the Premier League. I think he could be great at Barcelona.
I think Anthony would be great at like Altering Him Town or something like that. I think he'd be
good at Barcelona, to be honest with you.
Forest Green or
I think any league that has a slower play, a slower playing time, kind of like the, you know, the Spanish league does, I think he could do well over there.
Because I don't no respect for the Spanish league.
Me? No, I don't. Why should I have respect for the Spanish league? There's only three teams that have ever won the fucking Spanish league.
Let me get some comments read real quick. It says, man,
for every league.
Man smoking that milk. Buckle up, lads, from 1878 Casuals. It's Ten Harem. Top Reds Bandito. Jeff says, and then that's Bubba Jeff. He says, Bandito, welcome back in the States. And Jeff says again, Bandito, how was your interview for James Bond? How did your interview for James Bond go?
It went well. It went well.
Well, we heard some interesting things. So, tactically, we feel like it's complicated. Substitutions, we feel it's crazy. Is it possible Ten Hag is losing his locker room? Next question. Mikey, you first. And I know what you're going to say already.
Did he lose the locker room is the question?
Is he losing his locker room?
He's lost
it. I mean, yeah, it's gone. You can hear the leaks are back. The leaks are back. When we're doing well, there's no leaks. And it's Harry Maguire that's doing the leaks.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if it's Harry.
It's Harry Maguire. Because every time, ever since he's coming to the team, and every time we're doing well and he's not playing, it just seems to be him. I've drawn that conclusion. I'd say it's his face. It's you. You're the one doing the leaks. But yeah, he's lost that. All the reports are saying some guys are playing for him, some aren't. Some don't know what the direction of the club is. And then it's being compounded by the Ineos thing, the Ineos inability to make a decision swiftly, the Ineos going game by game. And you know what? The worst thing that probably happened to us was winning the FA Cup. That was probably the worst, because that got our expectations high. It got us
some bonus points for him.
Some people are even saying that City are doing dark arts by letting us win the FA Cup just to keep Ten Hag at the job. You know, it seems to me that was probably the worst thing to happen, because his head was on a block then, and they did all this crazy stuff and let him play the game out, and then we won it. So it gave him a stay of execution. But now he's back facing the needle again.
Mm. Quick. So,
you know, and look, and the players are, have what all the reports are saying, all the play, most of the players aren't fucking with him. So, you know, I think it's gone, man.
Bandito.
Yeah, player power is a real thing. And a lot of these players are like, well, I was here before the other manager was here, and I'll be here after this one's gone and on to the next one. But what I want to react to is what Mikey said. Because I have heard about Maguire's people, and I've heard it from a guy who was on Maguire's people's shit list. So the PR teams from these players is a real thing. And they've got
I'll tell a funny story after
they've
this.
They've got people in the press that they will give access to, and others that they will not. Some call it, you know, having them on the payroll. But yeah, player power is a real thing. Yeah, don't get on the Maguire's bad side.
Really?
So, really quick, never said this before, but it's a funny story. So, a lot of the family that my wife has, they live in London, well, in a suburb outside of London called Bray. It's a small village. And a few of them, her cousin, who I'm good friends with, he's friends with a dude that's Harry Maguire's like cousin or whatever the case. So one year they tried to get me a signed Harry Maguire shirt.
Ugh.
I said, it's okay. I'll take cash instead. But from what I was hearing at that time was like the disgruntled, the F Man United type of thing that was coming out of the camp. I was hearing it directly from this dude that's his first cousin. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that, I take that with a grain of salt, because it's me here. It's tertiary information. It's not me hearing it from Harry Maguire. But if I'm hearing this from the guy that's supposedly your first cousin, and they're trying to get me a signed shirt that I don't want, keep that, I feel like you're the leak. You're the leak. And I've known this for about 4 years now. I've never said that story to anyone. So yeah, he's lost that. He's lost it. And anytime I hear something bad, it's from around the time that we're not performing. He's not playing.
I think that McGuire shirt would go right next to that Dwight York, man.
He can't. That'd be shine crisp. Dwight York.
That'd be mint in him.
He can't shine his boots.
You know what? I wish that Rasmith and Xerxy would be like the next, you know, York and Cole. But what do you guys think? Let me. Are the players good enough? Is it too early? Are we judging them too soon?
That's a great question.
Because seeing them, Xerxy, I'm like, how are you not winning these fucking balls going to you? Xerxy, how are you not finishing some of these things?
Because he's not a striker.
Really, why are you going down so easy for looking for a call that you're not going to get? What do you guys think?
And don't even mention those two knuckleheads next to these.
I said greatest partnership on like that.
No, I think Xerxy's being played out of position. I don't even think that Rude would have if Rude was manager, Rude wouldn't have signed Xerxy as a striker. He's not a striker. You can clearly see he's not a striker. Rasmus, I don't know. Is Rasmus going to get his 20 goals this season? I don't think he's going to. I know he's young. I don't think he's going to get his 20 goals this season. Xerxy going to get his 20 goals this season? No, he's not. Not right now. But I think Xerxy's being played out of position. So he can only do what he's going to do. Again, he's still new to the league, so it's going to take him some time. Rasmus looks better in Europe than he does in the Premier League. So, again, my point is, like, this is another reason why Ten Hag should go. You signed two strikers for over 100 million, and none of them are going to get you 20 goals a season. So,
I'm sorry to interrupt, man.
No, go ahead.
Watching Xerxy, kind of like a double-edged sword. You're like, okay, he's not involved in goals. He's not. We got him as a big target man, or we got him to link play, drop in, and be kind of like the poor man's Harry Kane.
The poorest.
But then when he's not on, you're like, oh, nobody's doing that work.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're kind of like, okay.
That's why. Yeah. Sorry, Jendo. I think that's what we've
got. It's kind of hard to figure out what his role is and what his position is. But then when you feel like, oh, he's just a passenger. But then when he's not on, you're like, oh, we're missing someone doing this dirty work.
So you put both of them on as two strikers, and you get both of it.
Yeah, 4-4-2 football, bring it back.
Yeah, I think kind of the guy I want in charge plays a 3-5-2. You know, I think United right now need two strikers on. They need two strikers on. Like, we're not scoring enough goals. Two, our defense is leaking, but that can be fixed. You know, time's going to tell. You know, one of our brand new strikers is on the injury list. He's going to be great. I no doubt about that. Lenny Oro. And then De Ligt is brand new to the league. So defender. I think, you know, give him time. And then we look ahead to next summer. Harry Maguire is probably going to go. You know, with a lot of other defenders, we'll probably bring in some younger defenders there. But I heard a lot of rumors today that we signed Rasmus Højlund over Ollie Watkins.
Yeah, I saw that today. Like, I saw that today.
Are you serious? Like, why do you sign both of them? Like, we need an out and out striker. Ollie Watkins is going to get you that, especially with what we have in midfield and wings. And then you let Rasmus. I think Rasmus was brought in, play too much, and expected too much of straight away.
Mikey, let me pivot to Mikey, because kind of the same question, but...
Pivot to the expert, I got you.
Yeah. would you bring in January, would you bring in kind of a experienced striker that, you know, is not expected to play every game to kind of beef up attacking play and kind of take some of the pressure off of those two guys?
Yeah. I mean, my third decision was Ivan Toney.
Yeah, good shout.
I was all in for Ivan Toney to come in and to him to be somewhere put in that mix up, that rotation.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a proven Premier League striker. Now, granted, he wasn't firing towards the end of the season when he came back. But
to be fair, though, he like was off the whole season.
I still feel like he can get, he could have gotten us, you know, some results later on. And that's a guy that will break his nose to get a goal. He has pace, he has strength. But yeah, to answer your question, 100% feel like, but I also feel like the left back situation has to be addressed. It has to be dealt with. And if they did that first, so that way Dalot can, you know, decide if he's going to be on the bench or if they're going to play Mazzari or whatever the case may be, I would be okay with that, getting an experienced left back. But we definitely need a striker, and we need a proven one, and we need a guy with some pace and some strength that's been around the league. Peter Crouch.
Yeah, a lot of people in Manchester were talking. What you described is Jamie Vardy.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
Jamie Vardy. I'm not the front.
That's a bother.
He's just really old, like.
Yeah, you but he gets it done.
Jamie Vardy at 31, not at 36.
Shit.
The problem with Jamie Vardy is, though, he had an opportunity to go to Arsenal and turned it down.
He doesn't fuck with
Arsenal. He's not going to go to United.
He's a real one.
He's good. Let me ask you this to the panel, though. Who do you bring in right now? Who is available in January? As an out-and-out striker that can sit on the bench and not expected to play every game.
Well, when Bandito asked the question, I said, I don't know if that person exists right now. I mean...
That's the problem.
I don't know. My knowledge of footballers all over the world, it's crazy.
You guys... bring Ronaldo back?
Oh, wow.
You will fucking destroy Ten Hag the second round.
Y'all think about y'all answers while I read these comments. Bubba Jeff says, that clip of Rude calling out Ten Hag during the Villa game.
Them shit.
He thinks shows how stubborn Ten Hag is to the style of play, and that the style of play just doesn't suit the players. They aren't comfortable with it. They aren't connecting. They're getting hurt, and we aren't getting the results, which is the main goal, which is the Premier League. We're not getting those prem results.
Well, that was going to be my answer to Bandito's first question. The players are young. The tactics are confusing. I don't feel when I say young, we're not mature enough for this complex situation.
Right.
We're in a bad situation. These players need to be mentally stronger, better than physically strong. They need to be mentally strong to get themselves out this hole. And I don't know if you're depending on 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds, 21-year-olds. They don't have that mental capacity to fight this. I mean, look, people jumped on.
They don't have the coach to bring it out either.
Facts.
Jonathan David from in Lille could come in, and he has everything that we could use. Pace, power, he could shoot, he could score. He's Canadian. I think he would be good, shit. And he wouldn't expect to play a lot of games.
How old is
Jonathan
he?
Jonathan David, if you haven't heard him. I don't know how old he is.
Have the scouts heard of him?
He leads Canada's front line. He's pretty good.
I know who you're talking about now, exactly. Because, you know, I rate Canada and people kill me.
I can't think of anybody that would be willing to come sit on the bench under the age of 30.
Under the age of 30.
Yeah, Jonathan Davis, 24, and he plays for Lille now. And his market value is 45 M's.
Who owns Lille?
I'm not sure.
What about the Brighton cat? Ferguson.
But he's a younger cat, too, though.
Right.
But he's got
30.
More Premier League experience than most of these guys.
Yeah, he's like 19.
Just saying, I feel like he would sit on the bench and not fuss about it.
Shit.
I think his profile is too close to Rasmus Højlund.
Yeah, I do, too.
As far as, like, age and what the trajectory is expected to be. Whereas we're talking about a guy who's, you know, who's banged him in and, you know, could play a game and then sit two and wouldn't cause a fuss about it.
Ivan Toney was absolutely perfect.
A 28-year-old.
I think any player that is content with sitting on the bench, I don't want. Unless he's an academy player and he knows what time it is, like you just know, like the pecking order. If you're outside signing, I don't think anybody should sign and be like, all right, I'll sit on the bench and wait till you need me. Also, Leal is owned by Maryland Partners, SCSP. Yeah, don't know who they are. They're a Luxembourg-based investment fund for whoever asked.
It all comes down to Erik ten Hag and his stubbornness.
Mbappe's brother. Okay, Casey.
Do we have time for my...
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Please do it. Yes, please. Please.
Okay, how much time do we have? Okay.
You got 7 minutes.
No.
No, do it.
So...
Yeah, that sounds like a desperate babe.
And the gate's open. I go... There's an older gentleman. He's on the phone in the car park. And I just kind of like slowly slide over to him as he's finishing his phone call. And I'm just chatting him up. He's asking where I'm from, how long I'm going to be here, la, la, la. How did I start supporting United? So I ask him, is it open to the public? Can I go have a look around? I'm thinking like, you know, that dock where you see, you know, the Trinity, you know, chilling, or that famous stand right next to the River Irwell. And he says, well, no, it's not really open to the public. You just happen to catch me here. I'm going to be leaving in a bit, me and my partner's inside. And then he goes, you know what? You came all this way. So he gets on the phone. He's telling the guy, there's some dickhead American here. I'm going to go show him around. Yeah. So we go, if you watched 99, mm-hmm. It shows the cliff, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We go in. There's those, you know, vinyl red tacky benches in front that Beckham was on, but Beckham wasn't on it. Beckham was at a studio in London, made to look like that. So we go there. It looks like my old grammar school in Stockton, California. It's a time capsule.
Stockton, what up?
We go. We see the training facilities, we see the gymnasium, the cantina, the pools, locker rooms, all of that. He goes, yeah, let's go upstairs. We'll go see Fergie's office. So we go up, we go to all the coaching staff's office. So United purchased this from a rugby club in the mid-30s. Hmm. So I go up there and there's that famous window where Fergie's banging on the glass, you know, telling people, you know, open up or pass the ball quicker. I'm standing at Fergie's desk, and it's not just Fergie. It's, you know, Tommy Dock. It's Busby. It's, you know, fellas with Sir in front of their fucking name.
Right.
Unless you're Irish, then they're just their name. And he's like, you know, I like what he said, the guy giving me the tour. He says, United is a big club, a massive club. He said, I've worked for the club for 17 years. But we need to behave like we're a member of the community. And our community just happens to be hundreds of millions of fans worldwide. And you are one of the privileged ones to be standing right here. Where Fergie was the general for all those years, and where a treble was planned out and won. So I had an amazing, amazing time. It's just a stroke of luck that I caught the guy there. And he was acting like a member of the community. And I am, you know, as a member of the community, I was welcomed and showed around. The only thing they ask is don't take any pictures. Mm. So yeah, it's got to stay up here, hopefully. But yeah, it was an amazing time. Might have, you know, that was probably the peak of the experience of my trip over there. You got yeah. you you know me, when I go, it's all football related. I don't do like touristy stuff. I do get out and enjoy the city and see what's going on. But when people ask me, okay, if you're there for a week and there's one game on Saturday, what do you do with that the rest of that time? Well, that's what you do with the rest of that time, right? You go soak up United football culture. And so I was very privileged to have that experience at the Cliff.
Great story.
That's a great story.
Dope.
Thank you for sharing that with us, bro.
Proper privilege.
Proper privilege.
Isn't it nice to go there?
Mikey, stop doing that.
I don't like that argument.
Top Reds.
I don't like that argument that if you don't go to Old Trafford,
that ain't
you
don't argument. Go
Manchester, you're not a supporter.
Some people can't afford to go to Europe.
Yeah, that's coming from a place of privilege. So
yeah,
I mean, I was skint for years. I could never go. So I'm fortunate enough to do that. So I recognize that.
Sure, I lived in England and I can afford to go.
Quick question. I know we're about to do. Does it look bad?
Yes, it's a time capsule.
All right. Signing off. Signing off.
It's a shithole. Signing off.
This was a great show. Bandito, much love and respect. I appreciate what you've done for me.
Casual. Jeremy Sanchez. Mikey Douglas. Only
time's up,
on LA Talk Radio.
Sam's like, you know your time's up, bro.
What happened?